This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 376 for Thursday, January 22nd, 2015. You notice a familiar face in the screen and a semi-unfamiliar face, although you've seen his dad. this is Jonathan Witte, student at Martin Luther College, which is where we are broadcasting from this afternoon. Thank you, Jonathan, for being here.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Sally, thank you for being here. You had a long trip over.
Actually, thank you for being here. What a treat for us Wells Techers to have you at Martin Luther College in lovely New Ulm, Minnesota.
Now, we'll explain why Jonathan's here in just a minute, but I've been kind of touring Wisconsin and Minnesota the last couple of days.
Tour.
Yeah, I was up at Pastors Conference, Northwoods Pastors Conference, which is way up in northeastern Wisconsin, really almost on the it is on the border of the UP of Michigan, and I was doing a presentation on social media to the pastors up there, and interesting dialogue. A lot of them are really, I would say, a lot of them are really still skittish about using social media because of some of the horror stories and some of their own personal experiences, but spent about three, four hours with them up there and kind of talked through some of those things, and I think there's at least an understanding that this is the world that we live in, the social media thing, that if nothing else, they need to understand that their people live in that world and that they need to minister in that world too. So talked about things like Facebook and Twitter, and there is a presentation that we can put in the show notes here. I used Google Slides for my presentation technology and went through a lot of different ins and outs and tips and whatever, shared a couple of things that I've shared on this show before, those e-books by Lauren Hunter, just good practical guides for congregations to use and how to maybe leverage some of the technologies that are out there within social networks. Did not bring up Pinterest, unfortunately, Sally.
Oh, that should have been first your favorite. What's going on here?
Stuck with the staples, at least as far as I'm concerned. That's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. But had a good time. So then I drove all the way across the widest part of Wisconsin to get over here for meetings with the good folks at Martin Luther College and their technology team there. So just having a good time. I get to go up to the cities tomorrow morning for another meeting, and then I get to go home for the weekend. So
the road tour continues. Well, we're definitely happy to welcome you here, Martin. Happy to have a chance to talk a little bit about Martin Luther College here today and the technology that's going on at MLC. And this young man, Jonathan, a student here, is very involved in that technology.
Right. We've had his dad on, Dale. This is dad. I think we've even had his uncle on. Dan, now we've gone down a generation, but we get to talk to Jonathan about the cool stuff, and he's been your sophomore at Martin Luther College, and tell us a little bit more about your background and what track you're in, that kind of stuff.
Well, my track this year, I'm an instrumental major, secondary, and then an elementary major also, so I'll be here a total of 5 years. Background, let's see, if we're talking about video and stuff, I started that maybe my like senior year of high school. Went to WLA back in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Came here last year, been loving it since. So
okay.
It's a blast.
And was good enough to spend an afternoon with us. You're a busy guy though too, so you work with you work in with Bill Peckrell here, right? In what capacity?
He's my boss.
Okay.
So, he's like the head photographer and social media person, runs mission advancement type ordeals. So I work under him, taking pictures, videos, publishing on social media sites.
And you don't just take any videos or any pictures. You use some creative technologies that are fairly fresh on the scene to do some of that. So we thought we'd have you on the show since we're here, and you can show us some of these cool toys that you're using.
Yeah.
So Let's talk about the quadcopter first.
All
so
right.
we've got a little show and tell. For those of you that are listening, you're probably going to want to watch this episode because we actually have the tools of the trade here that Jonathan brought along. So tell us a little bit about what we're seeing here.
Okay, so this is the quadcopter MLC bought just this year at the beginning of the year.
And did they buy that on their own, or was that upon your encouragement?
I talked about it a lot, and I was planning to buy one, actually, and then MLC and Bill Peckrell said, hey, why don't we get one, because the school can definitely utilize this. And
okay.
It's an incredible blessing.
So how did you decide which one to get, and what were you looking for in one?
Okay, so this one we got, it's called the DJI Phantom 2. What's cool about it is it's really user-friendly. Mm-hmm. So if you let go of the joysticks when you're controlling, it'll actually hover, because it connects to GPS, so it knows where it is all the time, and it's really easy to fly, which is nice.
Okay. Price tag for that guy?
Price tag for the drone itself is about $1,000.
Okay.
So for that $1,000, you get the thing that flies, and then the gimbal down here, which controls the camera. But then you need a camera, so this one flies a GoPro. And we have a GoPro Hero 3 Plus Black Edition on this one.
Okay. So what's the range on something like this?
The range is ridiculous. right now it's set to go up 500 feet.
Okay.
Or, no, not 500 feet, 500 meters.
Okay.
So it'll go up over a quarter mile or about a quarter mile.
Okay.
And then it'll hit a ceiling and it won't go any higher.
It'll just stop for safety. Or hover there.
Yeah, which okay. is good. I've done that once or twice since. It's exciting.
Okay.
It's pretty high up there.
Yeah,
so it's 500 meters
straight up.
Straight up. How about
and then out? I think we've got 1,000 meters set.
Okay.
Which is quite far. I mean, at that you can't even really see it.
Okay. Now you have to kind of pay attention. The FCC is just beginning to think about some
yeah.
rules and regs about privacy and those kinds of things. Probably don't have a lot of those restrictions yet.
No, not around New Ulm.
Right.
It's mainly major airports.
Okay.
Pretty safe.
All right. So you've got a GoPro camera on there,
yep.
and how do you operate it?
So if we reach over here, so here's the remote, and then so once you get the GoPro, you kind of realize that you have to see what the camera sees while you're flying it in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So you see it on the screen that I've got mounted to the remote, and then there's two joysticks here, which you control. So one of them goes up and down and turns left and right, and the
okay.
other one controls the X plane.
Hard to manipulate, learning curve?
There is a definite learning curve. It's really fun just to fly out of the box. I mean, like, you can make it move left and right. The learning curve is where you, like, you want to get really cool shots, and you want to be cinematic about things. And that's where the learning curve comes from, and you have to, tiny little movements to make it nice
okay.
and slow.
So $1,000 instrument plus a camera and whatever, you got to kind of be careful. Any near misses?
I've hit a tree once. But
apparently not enough to do too much damage.
No, it's quite durable.
Okay.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, it's kind of almost a plasticky, huh?
Yeah, it is plastic, but even though it's white and kind of looks toyish, it's built quite well.
Okay.
Which is nice.
So when you were trying to pitch the idea to the college, what was the pitch? What could you do with this that would be useful for the college?
Well, for us, every year or every other year or so, we'd be taking a helicopter up and take aerial pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my first year, my freshman year, I actually got to go up in a helicopter and
okay.
take pictures of the campus. But with that, you get a 15-minute flight for maybe about $300.
Okay.
Which is, it gets to be a little bit ridiculous.
And you're higher than this would be able to get. I mean, you've got a much lower altitude
yeah.
and maybe more meaningful imagery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the helicopter, you get to take up bigger cameras, but this is more fun because you get to control where you're going.
Right.
Do it whenever you want.
You get that fly-through experience
mm-hmm.
as well. Okay.
So that's quite fun.
So you can take still imagery and video with
yeah,
the camera?
Yeah, that's the really cool thing about the GoPro. So you have to set it to take pictures or video before you take off. If you have the Wi-Fi on the GoPro and on here, they cancel each other out. Don't do that. So that's bad. But, yeah, so you set it to take video before you go up, and that records, and you turn it off when it gets back down. Or you set it to take pictures like a time-lapse. So every 5 seconds it'll take a picture or something like that. And so that's really cool. And then you can go further in, and it will actually take video and pictures at the same time,
okay.
which I didn't even know when we got it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of pictures have you taken? What purposes have you applied?
Well, the first picture we took, it was just kind of show off what we can do now. So I was able to fly maybe like 5 feet from the cross on top of the chapel. And then I got the sun coming in there.
Cool.
Cool sun flare. I love sun flares.
Yeah. And the image from the GoPro is good enough to give you a nice, pleasing
result. Yeah, the GoPro has 12 or 13 megapixels, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was really high for such a tiny camera.
And you're recording it on the GoPro itself on an SD card. You're not sending that back to home.
Correct.
Okay.
So the live feed from the GoPro is actually less than HD, or less than 12 or 13 megapixels.
Right.
Just so it can be live.
And how live is it? I mean, there's got to be a little bit of a delay.
It's actually on. Maybe a couple milliseconds.
But okay.
Negligible as far as I can tell.
Okay.
Which is really awesome.
All right. So what else have you done with it?
We've flown cross-country meets. So that's really cool when you get to see the people running through the trees and get to follow them. Kind of feel a little weird at first, but then that's cool. So we've done that. Our sprinter fun run we covered. So that's a 5K we run, and then I would just follow everybody again.
Mm-hmm.
So movement is really cool to do. Let's see. We were going to cover the Hermann fun run also, but I ended up being sick, so we didn't fly for that.
But you did some Hermann shots. I've seen Hermann in some of your videos.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that. The Hermann fireworks, there's a big festival, and then they put up fireworks. So we flew it actually around all the fireworks, which I didn't know how cool it would be, but it turned out really cool.
For those of you not familiar with the Martin Luther College campus, Hermann the German sits. Well, I think they're taking the water tower down now, so he'll be the highest point in all of New Ulm. So it's a I don't know if he's what his significance is. I should probably know, but
it's some war,
right? So there he sits, kind of a landmark, you know, for the area. But very cool, and anybody who's been there would know.
Yeah, Hermann is.
But so that's cool. Yeah, and I saw that fireworks video. So you were, you know, you're right up there.
Yeah.
Because the fireworks came from the park down below, so you were. You're pretty much on a level with them. So.
Mm-hmm. I can actually go over the top of fireworks.
Okay.
Which I've never seen that angle before.
Sure.
Right.
So that's a cool thing about this. You can get angles you never even thought of.
Okay. So do you let anybody else do this, or is it just you?
I definitely know the most about it out of anyone, but we're trying to teach all the other photographers too.
Cool. All right.
So Professor Preckerl he's flown it a couple times. One of the other photographers has flown it a couple times.
All right.
That's that learning curve and finding time.
Minus the price of the helicopter, it's probably a good investment if you're doing that kind of stuff. Plus the visuals that you couldn't get that I'm sure are really cool for parents to see their kids run across country or whatever.
That's a neat tool.
Have you done any indoor things? Is it possible to fly it inside?
We actually just did a couple weeks ago. Yeah, we had a basketball game here, or like a high school basketball tournament. So there are a bunch of high schoolers in the gym, so we flew it in the gym during halftime, got it close to them, and they're all going crazy. It's a little scary inside, to be honest, but because it won't connect to GPS inside, but it's still safe and just control
that.
Yeah.
What's the battery life on that? How long can you keep it up?
Each battery is about 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
So it's not the greatest battery life in the world.
And if you take one battery up,
yeah,
you got to bring it down and replace the battery.
Yeah, okay. So we have a total of 3 batteries now.
Okay,
which is nice. You can fly for about an hour.
Okay,
which is really fun.
Cool. All right. What else did you bring? What other cool stuff?
Well, let's see. So this is school's equipment, and then I brought something I own myself. Brought a good old GlideCam. It's called a GlideCam HD 2000 right here. So. Okay. This does essentially what the gimbal on the quadricopter does, except it isn't electronic. So this stabilizes any footage and just balances it, and you get to move it.
You see those in pro football, sporting events or college or whatever, just so that it allows you to move.
Yeah.
And no, have no camera shake.
Exactly.
Basically, right.
Yeah.
So let's move by. How have you used this?
First time I ever used one was back in senior year of high school. I shot a lip dub. So like a really long music video, which was really fun, giant one take. I've done 2 or 3 of those since. Mm-hmm. And now here I'll shoot videos, anything really. So we've done shout outs for high schoolers who come here back to their homes or something like that.
Okay.
So shooting lots of videos for Winter Carnival or instead of that. So I get a lot of use out of it.
Okay.
And all of these things feed into MLC's social presence, because you can find a lot of these videos on the Facebook page, and we now have an Instagram account. We were kind of instrumental in starting that as well. So.
What kind of pictures do you post on there, and what's been the reaction to that?
It's been received really well. I think we're at like about 350, closer to 400 followers now, which is really cool. I post pictures of the campus, and like if there's a really neat one, you know, that's where it fits perfectly with pictures and things, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then we'll also showcase students on there, so get them out there. And like I was mentioning, lots of shout-outs here, obviously.
Yeah. Because
if we have visitors, we'd love for people to see them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll do that
with the Connections Department should be doing.
So. Yeah,
cool. What kind of future coolness would you have in store for MLC? For yourself?
Well,
what are you aching at? What's on your Amazon wish list?
More camera stuff, of course. I've got my eye on a couple new cameras. Future coolness, we actually just shot a giant snow war video, so a giant snowball fight the other weekend.
With the quadcopter?
With the quadcopter, with this camera, and with four other GoPros.
Okay.
It's giant.
We had about 40 people there.
Oh,
wow. So
a lot of snow fun.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. So we shot that. I have three friends who've become great friends and make a ton of videos.
Okay.
Trying to get them up there on YouTube. That's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if churches, schools are interested in this kind of stuff, whether it be Steadicam or something like that, any suggestions on what to kind of look at, what kind of budget to have, that kind of stuff?
If you really want to like get good stuff, it will cost you a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just something you have to know. It's the world we live in. But the quadricopter is really coming down in price, like, which is awesome.
Yeah, so, I've seen some for under $200 at this point.
Yeah, so you can get really cool stuff.
Yeah, and Sal, you've got a project going
on. That's
right.
I've got a son.
Building his own.
He
ordered
a kit, maybe $275 price range, and he's building it. It has all the servos, all the different motors and things, and they're going through.
Pictures I've seen, it's bigger.
It is bigger than this one. So
that's to do some serious damage.
We'll see. Hopefully it doesn't run into a tree. It's not made of plastic, so I don't know. Yeah. We'll see.
As far as camera equipment, videography, if a congregation, I know a lot of congregations and schools are wanting to get more into that and use Instagram accounts and put promotional videos online, what kind of suggestions there?
Well, for Instagram, it's really simple. I mean, like, I have an iPhone, and that's all. I use that for Instagram sometimes. That's a great tool. Cheaper DSLRs are actually really great video things. Mm-hmm. So I shoot on the Canon T3i right now, and it takes great video.
Same one I have.
Yeah. So it's fun, and there's cheaper versions of the Glidecam, the whole HD series, and other things like that.
So, you had a budget for it, but it's not going to break the bank, especially if you put it to good use.
Exactly.
I would think that a congregation has to kind of have a school has to have a plan, for its use, and make sure that people understand what the objectives are and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
But lots of opportunities there. So. Yeah.
That's great.
Jonathan, thank you.
Appreciate
you being here. Good to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. See you at the next family gathering.
For links and things, so we'll include links to all of this in the show notes.
Definitely.
That'll be awesome.
All right.
Thank
you, guys.
You very much. Maybe he could leave a few toys with us. What do you think?
I don't know. We know where he lives, though. Thank you, Jonathan.
All right.
Okay, Sally, we've got a little bit more technology, MLC technology, that we wanted to share because you were involved with a little project last fall that kind of showed off a few things with videography.
Actually, if you want to share screens here, Martin, I brought up our new campus virtual tour, and we actually just announced this on the website this past weekend, so you guys are getting a first look at a new feature on the MLC website. We've established a virtual campus tour that will give you a walking view of the campus. I'm going to go ahead and launch it on my computer. And it's just like you're here in person walking around. I worked with Caleb Cortez in Outreach Virtual Tours to take pictures around campus. And he has a neat adapter for his camera that does this whole panorama thing. So when you go to various locations, looks like it's a little slow loading for I'm over the wireless, but hopefully pretty quickly we'll get it out. Go to various locations around campus and You get the imagery associated with them. You can use menus that are here to jump to different places on campus. We have interior shots of the beautiful Chapel of the Christ, and you can actually just move your mouse around or use the arrow keys. You can look up here at the altar of the chapel. You can look all the way up. I went full screen. Kind of.
It's
just a little.
A little sluggish.
Sluggish on the Wi-Fi. But here I am looking up at the cross way up high that's hanging from the ceiling at the altar. You can span around the room, and then you can mouse over different areas in the tour and click, and a new window will open, and you can learn more about those areas of the tour.
Oh, so, that'd be cool. I could see a congregation wanting to do something like this, mm-hmm. especially if they've got a nice church interior with stained glass and whatever, be able to do this. So. Very
yeah,
cool.
Definitely. And we've got some great comments already on our Facebook page. People that haven't been back to campus since they graduated in the mid-80s or whatever that are just super excited to get the feel of the campus, to be able to walk around. We included shots from our different athletic fields. That was really fun. And you mentioned, Martin, that I was involved because Caleb, obviously, he worked with Professor Peckrell, with Steve Balza, our alumni coordinator. They were the ones who really made all this happen. But I was kind of his bodyguard the day he was here to take pictures, and I was real tough with people and didn't let him get in the shots that we were trying to make.
Yeah, I don't see a single person.
No, and so here we are out at the football field. This was early on homecoming morning.
So how did you clear the whole football field?
It was so funny because this guy came driving up on a cart right as he was ready to take these pictures, and he's actually hidden behind the bushes there. I was like, go, park down there and get out of the way. So I'm standing behind one bush, and this guy's standing behind or hidden behind another. With his cart that he drove up on. It ties into Google Maps. I'm bringing that up on the screen now so you can actually see the Google map of the campus, and you can zoom in and out and jump to different areas on the map. Each of the little yellow guys represent an area where there's a panorama view. So you can click on a yellow guy, and the map will transform and show you that area. And then when your yellow guys showing, you can see the field of vision kind of outlined on the Google map to see, you know, what you're seeing mm-hmm. in terms of this view. One more thing to show off is the fact that we actually took it over to our Early Childhood Learning Center.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just...
Wow, which most people probably have not even seen.
Brand new. Right. Just, opened up very recently. And so you can actually walk around inside the various classrooms and see what the interior of the Early Childhood Learning Center looks like. You can go out on the playground. There's little arrows that will allow you to walk out to different areas of the tour. And again, you know, you can look up. In this particular room, I happen to know there's a caterpillar that will smile at you when you look up on the ceiling. So lots of fun things that you can see around campus with the virtual tour, and lots of information to read about as you're taking the tour and mousing over different areas. Like I mentioned earlier, additional pages will come up. Here's one about the altar where you can read more about the details of the altar. There's one on the triptych. There's one on just lots of different pieces. So okay. Really fun to take
cool.
a tour of MLC.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And I would think a tool that could be used, like I said, from a lot of different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wants to show off their school, you know,
right.
a prospective parent may really enjoy kind of a virtual tour where
absolutely.
Their kid might go to school the next mm-hmm. year in kindergarten. Or so.
Yeah. Caleb was great to work with. He's actually a Wells member in the Madison, Wisconsin area. Took it back and took him a little while to compile the thousands of images that he shot that day. And, you know, we had to get the light just right. We had to make sure there weren't people and all of that kind of stuff. It was a fun project.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. We're gonna kind of have an abbreviated show, so we're not going to do all of the features, or at least in all their glory, but mm-hmm. We will do ministry resources, and we found on one of my favorite sites, Church Mag. It's kind of a weird URL, churchm.ag. It's Church Mag's the name of the site,
mm-hmm.
and they provided a what they call a Dutch Girl's Guide to Becoming a Better Writer series, and kind of a neat title, but it's a multi-part, 10, 11. Part series on becoming a better writer, and that is, let me share the screen here, that is one of the things that almost all of us would like to get better at, and some of us are in the business of being writers, whether that be sermons or what have you. But just some good, I think, real solid types of tips. Purpose-driven writing, how to write a good story, crafting an effective testimony, tightening your writing. Three words you can almost always, what is that? Cut. Yes. So the editorial process. Mm-hmm. Do you have rhythm? I think just a nice little series. And they're not long articles, but I think they're very pragmatic and would help anybody kind of fine-tune their writing skills. So from a religious perspective.
Too. Absolutely, on Church Mag's site. We do a lot of writing for the web nowadays. And use that as one of our primary communication tools, yep. But there's lots of people that write newsletter articles or whatever, so definitely good tips to keep in mind.
All right, we do have a little bit of news in tech because CES, the computer or the, is it computer electronic show? Consumer electronic show, thank you, was again held in Las Vegas, the biggest show for consumer electronics, you know, lots of TVs, lots of new computer things, gadgets, what have you, is all on display there, auto technology, etc. And we wanted to at least share with you a kind of a recap. CNET does a great job at doing a recap, and we found an article that would help to do that.
Right. It's actually kind of a whole mini site where they've captured the best of CES, and they do have a particular article that mentions, tying it all together and the best of the best kind of thing. So we'll have links to the site and the final word as it's featured here on the CNET site. So check that out in our show notes.
Good. Let's move on to our tips or picks of the week. Sally, what's your pick this week?
Mine's pretty simple, Martin. I came across this list. Actually, I started grad school last week, so I have
congratulations,
a whole new world. Yeah, maybe I'll learn a little bit to share on the podcast. And I did right away because our instructor right away said, you need to shorten your URLs, and here's a link shortening list. So if you're looking for a link shortener, there's no shortage of them out there.
And no shortage of link shorteners.
That's
I see
right.
What you did there.
Yeah. Clever. And lots of different features that they offer depending on what you're looking for. Perhaps you can find something to fit those needs. And so we'll just include a link in the show notes. I just think it's really great in terms of a communication plan to have a good way to share links and share them concisely.
And it's not just about shortening links. It's about the tracking that you can do of those links. I know I use Bitly, you use Google a lot, and you can go to either one of those tools and see how many people clicked on those links, when they clicked on them, just some good analytics, and that's just good stewardship. If you're doing this, you get the benefit of crafting a URL, and not only does it shorten it, but if you sign up for their service, and most of them are free, you can handcraft the URL. So you can make your own.
Customize it.
Specify if it isn't already taken. And then obviously you get the analytics that go along with it.
Mm-hmm. The Google one actually, you can't customize.
Oh, really?
You could, but it gives you a QR code.
Oh, that's right.
So it generates a QR code every time you create a shortened URL. So you can take that QR code, download the image and include it wherever you want. Want to share your
I wonder if Bitly
URL.
Does that. I'd have to check.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that on Bitly either. But I use Bitly for link shortening for the Wells mobile app. And so I have a kind of a tracking history of anybody who's hit the share button. So I programmed it so that when you hit Facebook or Twitter share, it goes out, grabs a Bitly link, forms it, and then sends it to the little mobile share tab that comes up when you click those buttons. So I can tell what got shared and how often. So
and that begs the question, Martin, what got shared and how often? Is there good stats to look at?
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome.
I'd say, this was a new implementation in the latest release of the Wells Mobile app, would say the things that are most often shared are the things that you think of. The verse of the day,
nice.
The Bible reading, three-year Bible reading, and today's devotion. And I would say there's probably a good dozen or 15, 20 shares a day right now. So
good.
I think that should grow.
Good baseline, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You have a pick as well.
On to my pick, yeah. Kind of similar. It's in that web space. For a long time, we have both been talking about using social bookmark sharing sites like Digo. And we've encouraged our listeners to use that and give us Digo links, and a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
We've also talked recently about Digo kind of changing how they put together lists.
A little bit of monetizing going on there.
Yeah, they've changed it to this thing called the Outliner, and if you want to create new outlines, you can convert all your old ones for free, but if you want to create one new one, you have to sign up for their premium service. I didn't really want to do that because I wasn't all that excited about how well it worked anyway, so I went on kind of a little hunt, and one thing that I came across is something that I think we had talked about on the show a number of months ago, and that's a new extension. Now it's not totally new, but it's new to me now as far as using it, called the Chrome Bookmark Manager extension. Now it only works in Chrome, so you have to. This is a Chrome tip or kick. But what it does is it basically allows you to put these things in folders, and the folders can either be private, so only you see them, and you can annotate, you can give them a little title or note so you can remember why you bookmarked it, categorize it. They don't have tags, which I don't really understand why. You have to really create a folder for each one. But you can also make these folders public. So that's what I did for this pastor's conference that I was in a couple days ago, is I created, I used the extension, and all you do is you hit the little star icon, and it basically replaces Chrome's built-in favorite or bookmarking engine with this one. And it gives a little bit more visual appeal because it adds kind of a cover photo, picks a photo from the link itself, and then also a lot gives you a link, a shortened, or not a shortened link, but a static link that you can share so somebody can view your public folder. So I can keep adding things to this list or to this bookmark folder, and the link will still be valid. So
do you have the ability to organize what order they are? It's the order you added them.
At least I have not found a way. Now, there could be a way. Again, I'm pretty new to the tool, but I like the way it looks and operates, and then the sharing feature is really the big one for me. If somebody out there knows better link sharing features that primarily provide public lists like Digo does, I'm all ears. Because I'm not sure I'm sold that this is the perfect solution. I like this solution because it works seamlessly with Chrome. Mm-hmm. It basically works the way Chrome works with this bookmarking feature.
Chrome fangirl, so if it works there, that's very helpful. Yeah. It's funny that we've talked about this on the podcast. I saw that Gail Potratz had asked the question in the Wells Google Schools group as well, so I'll have to circle back and see if Gail's come up with any solution. She had the exact same issue. Can't believe they're taking away my list.
I believe we have a whole session on this link sharing at the Wells Tech Conference, don't we?
Wow.
Isn't Shelley Carstens doing something on
that? Something along those lines, so... Something to look forward to. I might have to attend that Wells Tech Conference.
I know I am. So.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
All right.
Maybe we should talk about the Wells Tech Conference now, since you brought it
up. Wells Tech Conference, July 9th. I know this by heart now. July 9th through 11th. The 9th is pre-conference workshop, so we have half-day sessions. Do we have any full day?
There's some that are both.
Two parts.
Yeah, two parts.
Beginner and advanced kinds of workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And then all day sessions going all day on the 10th and 11th at Country Springs Hotel and Resort in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Bring the family, huh?
Bring the family. They got a water park there. There's a golf course there. We're going
to
geek out with all kinds of sessions. We've got different tracks for pastors and classroom technology and
communications, web system administration.
So something for everybody. The venue's great, and we've got probably 100 sessions that people can sign up for.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. I'm going to have a hard time picking where I'm going to listen in.
Yep.
So,
Wells.net/WellsTechConf is the website. Mm-hmm. So if you want to sign up, registration will open early February 1st, and you can read all about it now. There's a sign-up list if you want to kind of stay up to date on some of the things that we've got going there, so go to that website. And great keynotes we have scheduled, so I'm looking forward to it.
Lots of good stuff to come. Circling back, maybe?
Wells Insider is a normal segment, and I wanted to, we've talked about this on the show before, but I recently relaunched or redid the Wells mobile app. available on iOS, Android, and now on Amazon. Just to call to your attention a couple of things that are in the app that you may not be aware of. One is that every call report is listed there. So as soon as they're up, you can see that they're on the list there, and you can go back in time and see different call lists that are available. And the entire Synod yearbook is online. Wow. So you can do a search by call worker or by organization, and then you can kind of look at the organization and who all serves there. So kind of a handy, in your pocket kind of Synod yearbook works well. Also, the church locator is available through the app as well. So it's just a kind of a portable guide to Synod information, plus all the devotional stuff, which we'll talk about in some future show. So just wanted to let everybody know that the Wells Mobile app is there. Just search Wells Mobile on any of the app stores, and it should come up.
You know, Martin, maybe people aren't quite as familiar with the term Synod yearbook if they haven't seen one. So just to explain a little bit, just that you can get the church contact information, you can get phone numbers, email addresses, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Churches, a roster schools. Of the Synod, everything we're doing in the Synod, and where that's happening.
So. Yeah, very good resource.
Right. Let's move on to community feedback.
And just a couple of quick mentions from our DIGO group. We talked about DIGO earlier. Jason Winjet's been active out there and tagged for Wells Tech. A free webinar coming up on February 10th where you can learn more about Wirecast. And that's basically a system for doing live streaming.
Yep.
So if you're interested in that, tune in on February 10th, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and they're going to be talking about all things Wirecast, advanced tips and techniques.
Yeah. Wirecast is a great tool because you can basically put that in front of your YouTube channel and stream from Wirecast to YouTube, and it's a little bit better than some of the YouTube tools because you can mix audio and video, and it's kind of a studio, a software-based studio. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you go to YouTube's site, I think there is a YouTube-branded Wirecast product, Wirecast for YouTube, I think it's called. So this would be a great webinar if you're considering live streaming and want to kind of amp up the production value. This would be a good product to consider.
Mm-hmm. One more link that I'll share in terms of community feedback is to a website called powermylearning.org. From our friend Jason Schmidt out in Omaha, Nebraska. He found this site. It says it's a free platform for driving personalized instruction and self-directed learning. Those are two really big buzzwords in education these days. We want people to find their niche and be able to learn at their own pace and that kind of thing. And this covers all subjects, K through 12, and is aligned to the Common Core. So can't argue with that. Educators, there's free activities, there's stuff for parents, obviously stuff for students. And it looks like it's kind of reward-based, maybe gamified a little bit, so you can earn levels and badges and all those kind of fun things. So it's like a great site. I'm definitely going to check this out.
One would think Jason just spends all his days looking for this kind of stuff because he's got something for us every week.
He does.
So thank
Lots
you, Jason.
Good stuff.
So,
thanks for sharing.
You know he has a real job. And does, so.
He has a real job sharing
his
these
job
things.
Is actually that, right?
Exactly.
He's explained
sharing
that before. So
speaking
of Jason, he's on the show next week.
That's right. We have a show next week. We'll be in two different locations, and we'll add Jason in from a third. He's going to join us, and we're starting a brand new series with our education shows. I'm not quite sure of the series title. You guys will have to tune in for that next week. But the concept will be that each of our next maybe four or five shows will focus on a particular subject area, and we're going to just go K to 12, all kinds of great learning tools that you can make use of in the classroom. Not limited to websites or to tablets or anything in particular, just sharing it all. So looking forward to
compiling
that.
The focus for next week is math and technology.
Math and tech, what a great place to start. I'm liking that.
You're both dear to your heart.
Yes, for sure. So should be fun.
All right. Let's move on to our featured video, and I wonder what we're going to show.
You know what? I am super excited about this. Maybe you want to share my screen, but we have a true MLC. Maybe you don't, because maybe it's not going to play. Anyway, tune into the show notes for a quadcopter tour of the MLC campus in winter.
MLC's first snow is the title. Oh, there it goes.
And we start up high, we go down. My van even makes an appearance. There it is, right
is that
there.
It?
So I am represented on this video. So
for those of you longing for snow, this is the video to watch.
Yeah, beautiful tour of the campus, all different angles and heights, and in and out of different buildings and things that are true to our heart if you're an MLCer. There's lots of fun stuff to see here.
This epitomizes MLC for some.
Yes. Yeah. So thanks, Jonathan Witte, to your great videography. I think it'll be fun for our viewers to have a chance to see some of that. We're going to include it.
Hopefully we'll see spring flowers in some future
video. Yeah, we'll feature one of those real soon.
About June.
Thanks, Martin.
All right. Sally, that should about do it. If you'd like to contribute to the show, we would love to for you to do that in any way that you'd like. We have all kinds of social networks that you can be a part of, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, Digo, as we mentioned, or just go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and leave a comment on one of the episodes there, the one that you're interested in, or send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, and we receive those and share those as appropriate, and we'd love for you to participate. If you'd like to join the show live, you can ask questions as we're conversing, as we're talking about different topics, and it's easy to do that too. WellsTechLive.wells.net, where we get you hooked up with us live. We normally do the show Tuesdays
4
at 4 Central. O'clock Central, with the exception of today.
So. Yeah, today was special.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. Again, our thanks to Jonathan for joining us, sharing with us some very cool things. And thank you all, and to see you next week. God's blessings. Bye-bye.